You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I would refer to you as Wing Commander Kirsten if you went wing walking.
All right.
Okay.
If you ever call me Alex by my name, every time you don't call me Wing Commander Kirsten, you owe me £5. Food and fuel, Shelsley Walsh. Which car is fastest up the hill? £50. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Auto Alex podcast, home of automotive financial mistakes, our life in cars, weekly car hunts, car news, and your questions answered. Today, you are joined by Rory, Taylor, and I, where we will fill your ear and eye holes with discussions about what we've been up to. We'll argue over who has chosen the best fast coupe in this week's find of the week. Rory will deliver the latest car news, and we'll answer your keep or quit. But before that, Rory.
Oh. It's Shedfest.
It's Shedfest. There are less than 2 weeks to go.
I know. It's going to be such a good one as well.
It's going to be
good.
Goodwood.
We've got so much good food. Yep. We've got little attraction. We've got bumper cars.
Are you calling me a little attraction?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
We've got bumper cars.
Yeah.
We got apparently the best cars in the show.
Yeah.
Tom Lenthal's even got his own section as well.
He does indeed. Yeah. Goodwood Legends. We've got Mike Brewer is confirmed. Tavarish is confirmed. There's loads of all
Top
of your favourite.
Top Dead Center.
Yeah.
All the gear.
Yeah. We're going to be on stage. We're going to be doing loads of stuff. It's going to be fantastic. Get your tickets immediately because they are running out fast. I know we say that every single week, but we are privy to the numbers and we're like, oh shit, there's not many left.
Not many at all.
Exactly. Spectator tickets are the only things remaining. So make sure you are there. Also, Rory, another announcement.
Oh, clothing. Yeah. So our clothing, we have a sale on at the moment.
Yeah.
Using the code SPRING30. Yeah. You guessed it, for 30% off.
Oh.
And you can now get all of the Auto Alex range for 30% off.
Fantastic. I love your like podcast voice.
It's good, isn't it?
It's better than your normal voice.
Oh.
Why don't you do the rest of the podcast in podcast voice?
All right, mate, how's it going?
Wow.
That was very different.
That was quite different, wasn't it? Yeah. He's gone off script.
He has, yeah.
Maniac. Anyway, what have we all been up to? Rory, get started.
Brilliant. Straight to me, because I've definitely remembered this. We have all been on a big road trip.
We have.
Yeah, we took two cars that I did not think were going to make it on a road trip.
Yes.
On a road trip.
Mm. Mm.
I don't think I've ever had so much stress with two cars that or doubt that they were going to make it. Mm. So much so, we'd actually arranged to buy another car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you speak to the man and say thanks, but no thanks?
I did, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's good, yeah.
Yeah, so obviously these cars being the Rover Tomcat and Alex's Volvo 480.
Yeah, I love that car.
I love that car as well. The Tomcat is so good. Mm.
And yeah, we ended up going on a trip and I would probably say somehow went from being one of the most unsuccessful trips to being one of the most successful trips.
Yeah, I would agree. We did a lot. We packed a lot in, didn't we?
And shout out to all the people that recognised us along the way.
A lot of people in Wales recognise us. Yeah, it's really cool.
We had a taxi driver who we had such a great moment where we all hopped in the taxi and then the guy just looked over to his left at Taylor and went, shut up.
That was really
Did he say
good.
My man said shut up?
Yeah.
His name was Albie, wasn't he?
Yeah, and I couldn't quite tell what, like, you know, at first you're like going, is he a fan or is he just telling us to shut up?
Yeah.
Like, I can't. And then he just starts looking around, he's like, no.
And then he put the podcast on in his car.
Yeah. It was amazing. Yeah, he's got them all downloaded and he started playing the podcast. Because for me, I love hearing my own voice.
Yes.
So we all stopped, didn't we? And we listened.
We did, yeah.
Yeah.
An hour and a half.
Sat
in that car for.
Yeah.
It's only a 6-minute journey.
Yeah, it was a furry expensive Uber, wasn't it?
And then there was another guy.
You like this moment.
This one was my favourite moment. We were on the Snowdon Mountain Railway heading down.
Oh, yeah.
And Alex and my brother decided to try and run to beat the train. The train sort of toots at people when it's going down.
It does.
And then everyone then waves at people and then everyone waves back. And this guy was there waving in a bit of a sarcastic way.
Was it like lads, lads, lads?
Yeah, a bit of a, like a lads, wave, sort of like you know, going. Ugh. And then suddenly his eyes catch on to Taylor and he's going, waving. And then I just see him just mouth the words.
Language.
What the?
Yeah.
And then his face is just looking at it going like.
He was so confused.
I just don't think he was expecting to see Taylor on a Snowdon Mountain Railway.
Did that stop him in his tracks?
It really did.
That's good. That's
and then
good.
He turned back and I could just see him kept just going, looking behind him going, did I just see?
Or am I really drunk at the moment?
Yeah.
Because you can get beers at the top of Snowdon.
Which I did not. Did you know that that big cafe was at the top of Snowdon?
I had no idea. Top of a mountain, bear being a cafe and being able to get beers. No, that's very uncouth. Why would you do that?
I don't know.
But it's perfect because you can have beers at the top of Snowdon.
It's amazing. Nice, yeah. Like you just would not expect it to be there.
No.
I always saw climbing Snowdon because I did try and attempt to climb Snowdon once before and it went horribly wrong. Because it just
did
started.
Did you run out of energy?
No, I was just wearing like jeans and trainers because I've heard it was quite an easy thing. And the next thing you know, the rain started.
Oh.
And the rain then turned into snow.
Oh.
And I got about, I think it was just above the third lake, which is like nearish the top.
Yeah.
And then suddenly all the visibility went and my friend who was with her trainers just started sort of.
Oh no.
Just getting
losing grip. And claggy.
You know, like just full of snow.
Oh no.
And then I was like, oh. We should probably turn back around now. Oh, this dear. Again, I think. So, but if I'd known that there was just a bloody cafe at the top of it,
you could have gone in there and warmed up.
Or just, taken the train down. It is nice, but it does sort of take that moment of achievement.
Yeah.
Like, because you could see there were people who had just climbed to the top of Snowdon. They were like, yes. And then there was us four just with some beers, like, you're right, it was a bit tough, wasn't it?
I reckon the equivalent would be having a strip club at the top of Everest.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised in this day and age. I really wouldn't.
But yeah, really good trip. And I managed to force Taylor to finally do something that he didn't want to do.
Yes, after 2 years.
What was... has it finally happened?
I conquered my fear.
Yeah,
not
really?
What you're suggesting, no.
What, the...
I know that face.
No, the zip line.
Yeah.
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 No, you were going to say something else.
What was I going to say?
I don't know, because you're childish.
Don't you dare. Like. I'm a 40-year-old man.
I know what you're
You
like.
Can't call me childish.
No, so, for those who don't know, we forced Taylor to do the 100-mile-an-hour zip line in Wales.
Mm.
FYI,
I don't like heights.
No, you don't.
You said you're all right with heights.
I'm all right with heights in certain circumstances.
Yeah.
Zip lining across a 1,000-foot quarry is not one of them.
And one of those circumstances that apparently you're all right with heights with, because you said you would do it, is a skydive.
Yeah.
And one of the points that Alex said he would never do is a skydive.
So we're going on a skydive.
No, but I'm the one who pays for everything.
I'll pay
I will
for
not
it.
Pay for that.
I'll pay for
it. Sorry. Who does all the bookings?
Comes out of the back company account.
Rory's paying for it.
I'm taking your card away.
Also, on the way back, I then said, look, you can either skydive.
We don't need to bring this up right now, do we?
You can
we?
Either skydive
or
you can wing walk. One of the two.
Oh, and now I'd quite like to watch you wing walk.
Yeah. Imagine Alex strapped to the... Bear in mind, for those who don't know, Alex is not the best flyer.
Do you remember the clip on... it was... one of the last Top Gear episodes where they strapped Richard Hammond to that plane that had propellers and he sat on a chair on the top of the plane. I would like to see you do that.
So we always joke whenever Alex goes on a plane because he always has to sit in a window seat. He has to grip the armrest like he's controlling the plane.
Yeah.
And we always joke that he's Wing Commander Kirsten.
No, we don't joke. I am Wing Commander Kirsten. As soon as I step aboard, I'm Wing Commander Kirsten. And I will insist that everyone on the plane refers to me as that.
So imagine if he was actually Wing Commander Kirsten.
Yeah, I would have to change my name by depot. And you would all have to refer to me as Wing Commander Kirsten.
Look, I would refer to you as Wing Commander Kirsten if you went wing walking.
All right.
Okay.
Shake hands on it. If you ever call me Alex by my name, every time you don't call me Wing Commander Kirsten, you owe me £5. If I'm doing this, you owe me £5 for every time you don't call me that.
And you've shaken on that.
No, I shook on the fact that I'd call him Wing Commander Kirsten. There was no counter argument.
Well, shake on it now.
No, I'm not doing that.
I'm going to be walking on wings, man.
I'm walking on sunshine.
But yeah, I think this trip, I hope everyone really likes it. It's got that perfect mix of car stuff with a bit of lighthearted humor and banter and a bit of an adventurous side.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't even go that far, but I think we found some really good points to stop at. Mm.
Yeah, and met some amazing people as well.
Yeah, lots. Yeah.
And some history stuff. Yeah. Oh, if anyone has any parts that they need for any old car, drive all the way to Wrexham and then go to Wrexham Motoring Supplies.
Yeah.
Because John will have it.
Ask for John. Yeah.
John. Yeah. John will have that part. We're up the back.
Unless you have a Volvo 480.
Yeah, then he won't.
No.
Yeah.
But we were up the back into his little old stock, and we found a load of old stuff for some of the cars. And just on the back shelf, there's just an armrest for a Vauxhall Sinatra.
Signum.
That was it.
They're nice, aren't they? They're classy.
And he was like, oh, it's good. Yeah, it's the one with the fridge in, but it hasn't got the wiring pack, so I could never install it. And then we were like, John, why have you got this? And he just went, sentimental.
That was funny.
But yeah, great trip.
That was great. Good, wasn't it? Yeah. I really enjoyed that.
How's the lawnmower?
Lawnmower is going really well. I've lowered down it was at a 40 mil cut.
40, yeah, okay.
And now I've gone to a 35.
Have you lowered
it? So it's slightly shorter.
But lowering springs on it.
It lowers down.
Is it on air?
It lowers down the motor on the inside.
Oh, really?
And then it can lower and get a nicer cut.
Wow, that's so interesting.
So I can cut it halfway through. I can go, I want a higher cut.
That's fantastic.
Or a lower cut.
Tell me more.
I changed the blades on it as well. So
did you?
It's now got a really nice.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly. That has been my best purchase I've ever made.
So when are you getting a Lecky lawnmower?
Yeah, you've already got your Lecky vacuum.
I don't need a Lecky. I actually enjoy doing the lawn.
Stop being so old-fashioned.
I enjoy doing it. Although foxes have attacked my lawnmower because I keep my lawnmower outside underneath my tree.
Yeah.
And they've attacked it. You can see loads of bite marks on the oil filler cap.
You've got a petrol lawnmower?
Yeah, of course I've got a petrol lawnmower.
You're so old.
Your lawn is not big enough to have a petrol.
I've got a 100-foot garden, man.
That's just not big
enough. I have tried battery-powered ones and I blew the motor. The motor actually caught fire.
I would imagine that's more operator use, knowing you.
Well, yeah. I mean, I like to test out the machinery. I'm not very good with mechanical sympathy. But my lawnmower's buggered, right? You know the pull cord as well?
Yeah.
Foxes have taken that hold as well. Mm. They've nicked it. So I'm like, I pulled everything apart, took the whole top end off. Yeah. And I was like, I can't be bothered with this. So every time I want to start my lawnmower, I get a drill with a 22 mil bit and I crank it that way. So instead of pull cord, I'm literally just there with a drill going, and then I have to pull the drill away really quickly.
Oh,
otherwise it spins everything up. Yeah.
That quite sounds dangerous, like a lot of funny. Effort.
No, it's actually way easier using a drill.
I know.
And I've cut a big hole in the plastic topper as well. So now all the spinny bit is quite exposed. It's all right. I don't put my hand in there much.
Well, it's good. At least you haven't going to have a baby crawling around. And
why would I have my baby crawling around a garden while I'm mowing the lawn, Rory?
She might have let herself out.
She might. Oh, shit. Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Bloody hell. I'm going to be on the news soon, aren't I? Yeah, anyway, Taylor, what have you been up to?
Not actually that much, to be fair. Mainly just road tripping with you guys.
Yeah.
It's been obviously really good fun.
Been great. Yeah.
I have formed a very strong bun.
A
bond with my Rover Tomcat.
Oh, yeah.
I actually really like it.
I know.
It's
you
a really
do.
Good car.
And, can you admit, though, it's not as cool as a Volvo?
No, it's cooler.
No, but can you admit, though?
It's cooler.
So, again, behind the scenes knowledge, everyone thought the Rover was the cooler car.
What do you mean, everyone?
Everyone.
What do you mean, everyone?
Everyone.
I don't think it's cooler.
It's a cool
Your
car.
Your car has one really good angle.
All of them.
Which is its rear quarter
shot.
The
ass looks great.
Yeah, the ass with the wheels that you've got is a great, great shot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm. But apart from that, it's not
It's faster than yours.
Was.
Is. It's all right. They're the same speed now.
No.
Yes, they are.
It was slower than your car. And then I plugged in my boost controller.
Yeah, and now it's up to
speed
finally.
And now it boosts at 13.5 PSI.
Yeah, which makes it as fast as mine. Yeah.
Which actually made it so that it pulls on yours.
No, it doesn't.
It does.
There was a car in front. I had to back out now.
Oh, give off.
Oh, shut up.
All right, drag race.
All right.
Oh, okay. Alex has put his mic down.
50 quid.
Taylor's charging.
50 quid?
50 quid.
All right.
We're having a drag race.
Okay. When are we doing this?
We could
Goodwood.
We'll wait till everyone's left after Shed Fest.
How about Food and Fuel, Shelsley Walsh, which car is fastest up the hill? 50 quid. 50 quid. And I've got work to do on my Volvo, by the way.
I think yours would be quicker.
Yeah, so do
more
I, Taylor.
More power.
Yeah, more power.
No, I want and a drag race.
And you're on coilovers.
I am
as well.
Getting a Saab turbo on mine, because my turbo's now.
Yeah, but you got to have the race as it is now.
I'd still beat you.
No.
I would.
You wouldn't. Not in a drag race.
Right, M40.
Put 50 quid on it.
M40.
Shedfest. We're having a drag race.
Also at Shedfest. Another Shedfest thing.
Oh.
We're going to be giving away some prizes as well.
We are, yeah.
We're going to be giving away Ethan's old car.
Yeah, which we're going to tart up. That's going to be fixed and polished and everything. Yeah. Lovely, lovely.
So the one that you probably saw on the Car Throttle series where they bought Ethan a new daily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So anyone who buys a Shedfest ticket.
Is automatically entered.
Is automatically entered.
So someone will leave with that car.
And then we're going to give away a few little other prizes. Viking Detail is going
to
be giving
away. Exactly, Viking Detail. So
Shedfest, get your tickets now.
Link below.
Okay.
Wow. That's nice.
No, it's nice.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to Shedfest. I think it'll be great.
It's going to be really, really good. And I've checked the weather report for 2 weeks and it's fantastic.
Is it? Good. Yeah. I'm really excited. Yeah, it'll be nice. Really and I'm looking forward to having it at Goodwood as well, because Goodwood is such a great venue.
I know. It's going to be. It's very aesthetically pleasing, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Much like myself. Yes. But other than that, I've been obviously doing a bit of work with Mike Fernie as well.
Yeah.
I really like Mike Fernie.
He's good. He's a good bloke.
Yeah.
He's a good crack.
Really nice bloke. Yeah. We had a good laugh doing a bit of filming. That scene that you showed me earlier, Roy, it's so funny.
Oh, that will have already come out. That was last week's, so that is the modified.
Hold on, that's tomorrow's episode.
No.
Oh, last week, today. last week.
Yeah, last week.
We're filming this last week, by the way, because I'm on holiday.
We're filming this on the release of that video.
Yeah, we are, yeah. It's very complicated, isn't it?
It's very complicated.
That is really funny. I really enjoyed doing that. And
shout out to Jay for that little scene with Mike coming in, by the way, because that was his idea and it did come off well.
Yeah, it was really good, yeah. Other than that, moving forward, this week I am hopefully rebuilding my Peugeot 205 GTI, which I slightly broke at Landau, which you can see on the V2 channel.
Yes.
I'm really looking forward to fixing that because I miss driving that car.
I bet, yeah, cool car.
I absolutely love my little Peugeot.
And I actually missed driving that car because it blew up.
We're hoping it didn't actually blow up. A lot of the oil fell out.
Yeah, it did, yeah.
So I need to work out why the oil fell out. We don't know if it's come out from the gearbox.
I have worked out how much oil you lost now, though.
How much?
1.2 litres.
That's quite a lot.
Over 3 or 4 laps?
It was meant to have, I think, 5.3 or 5.6, I think.
Okay, and I've got 4.2.
That's more than my F11 lost.
So I've lost
my
about a litre.
My F11 was buggered.
And I didn't know this. So those engines suffer with oil starvation. They're quite common for it when you're on track. Unless you fit a baffled sump. I didn't know, but that car actually has a baffled sump.
That's cool.
Because I just removed the sump on it.
And explain what a baffled sump is for people who don't know.
A sump is the big tray at the bottom of your engine that holds all the oil in it. And when you go around a sharp bend or a very long bend, all the oil can slosh over to one side and then the engine can't suck it up and then it blows your engine up, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you have these little flaps inside the sump, which stop the oil from sloshing to one side, and then it allows it to slosh back to the other side when you like level out, which are called baffles, then it prevents that from happening. So it's less prone to the engine blowing up because of oil starvation.
So that's exactly what happened to Tavares's XK8 on the Nürburgring.
That's right.
It wasn't a baffled sump, and there was oil starvation in the engine. Hence the coffee table, indeed. Yeah, exactly.
If you haven't got a baffled sump and your engine's quite prone to it, it's quite dangerous.
Yeah.
In fact, the BMW N55 engine is a really, really common one. Oh. It's the engine fitted in the BMW M2, the first generation, and the 135 and 335i's of that generation. They didn't have baffled sumps. The M2 did, but the non-M versions didn't have baffled sumps. And if you do a donut in one of those without realizing, you can actually seize the engine.
Really?
Oh, shit. Yep.
And a lot of people put the M2 sumps on, like 335s and stuff. Yeah. Because they got two pickups and they have a little baffle in them.
That's cool.
So luckily, my sump has been modified so that it's got a baffle in it. So I'm hoping that it hasn't damaged it. I'm literally after this podcast, going to go and take one of the main bearings off to check to see if it's scored. If it is, big problem. If it's not, I should be all right.
Okay. And if it is, what happens?
Then I need to potentially rebuild the engine.
Oh, shit.
Or replace the bottom end bearings or just check the top end and things like that. I need to see how much damage has been done, if there is damage.
Yeah.
Going to do that. Also going to diagnose the oil leak. which is why the all the oil fell out in the first place. Need to look at that.
Yep.
So I'll need to clean off all the old oil, put some back on, run it up and just see where it's coming from and then start doing some bits to it. I'm going to do a couple of little mods to it. I'm going to change the interior up a bit and tidy it right up.
Fantastic.
Because at some point we're going to do a little road trip.
We are going to do a little road trip.
Because you've got your sports French Clio.
Yes.
And we're going to go into in a minute. And we're going to do some little hot hatching.
Yeah. Maybe even to Altrace.
Yeah.
We liked Altrace.
And there's still the third mystery one.
Oh. Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah. So that's very exciting. Other than that, nothing else to report.
Okay.
Nothing has broken in recent times.
How is the weight loss program going?
Good. Yeah, pretty good. I'm not gymming yet, but I'm still healthy eating.
To be fair.
You know what? I will say this as well. Yeah. I was watching a clip from about a month and a half ago, and you have visibly lost weight.
Thanks, Rory. Yeah. Thanks.
Fair play.
Thank you, very kind.
Fair play. And with the zip line thing as well, there is a weight limit.
There was.
And you said, I used to be X, and I said, I reckon you are now Y. You got on the scales and you were exactly that number.
Yeah.
And that's very impressive. Yeah.
Oh, so, did they actually weigh you before you went?
So I've lost about 10 kilos.
Wow.
10 kilos. Not that's bad. Good. Yeah.
That is
yeah.
good going.
But I've still got more to go. I want to lose about another 10.
Okay. I've put on least. 10.
Yeah. You're putting on what he's lost. Yeah. And it's all gone to your head. He's got a big head.
that is the pot calling the kettle black.
Have I got a big head?
Oh, yeah.
No, I've got, whenever I put a helmet
He hasn't got a big head. He's got a big forehead.
I've got a massive forehead.
He has got a five head.
It's like
head,
a beacon. Yeah. No, I will say,
you know, you haven't had a big forehead your whole life.
No, I have.
Yeah, you have.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's getting bigger.
Because I'm getting more intelligent. My brain is expanding.
No.
You've been driving a lot of convertibles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't wait until you have a child, Rory. You know the pain. Even the side of my hair is like more wispy grey.
For those who don't know,
what is going on?
Alex keeps complaining that he only gets 7 hours of sleep.
I don't complain that I get 7 hours. No, that's bullshit.
Yeah, he's only getting 7 hours, guys. I feel so sorry for him.
That's not even a thing, Rory. You're taking a piss now.
I don't.
Go on. No, please. No, pray do tell.
No,
please.
I don't know. I just think you're being a bit of a wimp.
Really?
I'm glad you agree, Tech.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got to get home early because I haven't got enough sleep.
I don't say that. No, I say I've got to get home early because I want to try and help my wife with the child.
Because I haven't got enough sleep.
It's mainly because of sleep. I just want to sleep. Yeah, I just want to go to sleep. I just want to get away from you guys.
What?
Yeah. Because you break me down, man.
No, we bring you up.
You most certainly do not.
To bring you down.
Right, okay, yeah, thank you very much. Anyway, as for me, we touched upon the Clio. Clio is with our welder, Jamie, up in far north.
Oh my God.
I cannot believe the progress he's made already.
Yeah, so I gave him two new sills because they came with the car, and one side is already completely done.
That car was so bad.
And the bad side as well, with a big hole in the arch as well. It's all like beautifully done again.
It's incredible.
He is amazing. Yeah, he is so quick.
He is good.
Probably in the next 3 or 4 days, that car will be completed, which is mental.
That's insane.
Absolutely mental.
Well, fabrication-wise, it then needs to be painted.
Yeah.
And then fabrication.
But realistically, we could spray the car. Well, he will spray it with some sort of black paint.
Just a bit of undersill or something, yeah.
And then we could just basically get it running.
Yeah.
And then get it for an MOT, then put it to paint.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could do.
So by the end of next week, that'll be... No, because I'm on holiday.
Oh.
I'm going to France.
You are, aren't you?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, Rory. I'm going on holiday.
Do you know what? One of those it takes is? A piss. The amount of holidays that you've had this year is unbelievable.
How many holidays have I had this year, Rory?
Two.
Have I?
Yeah.
Oh, I think you're getting confused with yourself.
No, you've had two.
No, I haven't.
Tay, how many has he had?
Don't ask him. He won't know.
You have had two.
Have I? What's the other one?
Well, I had a week off and you had a week off.
Where?
You didn't go anywhere, but you had a week off.
Yeah, I was still working at home. No, I had a week off filming. I was still working while you were probably sunning yourself on the slopes.
He spent a day at home doing some little
tests. Rory's been on holiday like 3 or 4 times this year, and every time it's skiing.
So, oh, I'm so middle class, I'm going to go skiing. I'm teaching my girlfriend how to ski. She's doing so well. Lovely. Oh, yes. We're just off-piste at the moment, just having a little beer. It's lovely. Wish you were here.
That's you.
At least you're not sour about it.
No.
So, you know, the only time off I've had in the last 2.5 years was when I went with you to Vietnam.
Yeah. So Clio is going very, very well. Wales road trip you touched upon was fantastic. Volvo needs some work. Going on holiday, which is very exciting. I'm going to Centre Parcs in France and one day in Disneyland.
Which you haven't... This absolutely shocked me.
What?
You haven't been to either of them?
No.
In your whole life?
In my whole 30-year existence.
He's never been to Disneyland.
Neither have I.
Or Centre Parcs.
What?
Well, I've never done anything like that.
We had very troubled childhoods.
Poor childhood.
Yeah.
I still have.
Rory certainly didn't have a poor childhood.
Well, Disneyland's Disneyland. There's one in Paris.
Yeah, never. It's money. It's big money, man. Also, my holidays consisted of driving to Germany with my mum every holiday, summer and Christmas.
There was no time to go to Disneyland to say hello to Mickey Mouse.
The only place I've ever been like that was, I think it's called JCB World.
Wow.
Where you drive the JCBs and you scoop it all up and you put
Have
it
you been
down.
To Legoland?
No.
I've been there. That's quite good.
I love Legoland.
Yeah. I went to Fort Park once, but I don't like roller coasters. So I did the Flying Fish, the Rumble Rapids and Pizza Hut. And that was it. That was all I did.
I'm not sure you can count the Pizza Hut as
In all fairness, when it's Halloween, I like the asylum things.
Okay.
You go in and they're all scary. And
But now we've taken you to Blackpool and you actually enjoyed the roller coaster.
He loved it.
And now you've done the zip line and you came off it and enjoyed it.
Yeah. What else don't you like?
I don't like the idea of doing it or the queuing up. I hate that. When you're sat there and you're like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
What else in the world do you think of and you're like, I will never do that?
Well, obviously, I'm not going to tell you because you'll force me into
it. I've got one thing that he said.
Let me guess.
Bungee jump.
No, I won't do it.
He said he would never bungee jump. True.
And now a quick break to tell you about this week's fantastic sponsor, Manual, that is revolutionizing hair loss treatment by combining science, technology, and medical expertise to deliver personalized, cutting-edge treatment plans. And I'm sure you've heard the phrase, bald is beautiful, but if bald ain't for you, then Manual has the answer. Because whether you're at the start of your hair loss journey or deep into the throes of one, Manual has treatment options to target all stages of hair loss. And here's the best bit. 92% of men who used Manual's hair plans saw improvements in their hair loss with positive results in as little as between 3 and 6 months. And the way Manual works is super simple too. Answer a few questions about your hair loss and medical history, and one of Manual's UK licensed experts will help you customize a plan to maximize your success and monitor your progress. But don't take my word for it, because more than 200,000 men trust Manual's treatment plans. So if you want to give Manual a go, go to manual.co/autoalex to get started. And when you do, you'll get 50% off your first order. That's 50% off your first order when you get started with Manual at manual.co/autoalex. manual.co/autoalex for 50% off. Manual. Men's health the way it should be. Anyway, back to what I've been up to. I don't want to bring the mood down. I'm injured.
Oh, give over.
What?
You walked down a hill and now your legs are knackered.
I'm big injured. I think I've got rhabdomyolysis, the thing that nearly killed Chris.
Yeah. Okay. You looked this morning, you walked in like you were pooing across the driveway.
I would rather be doing that than go through the suffering, the torment that curse these wooden metal legs.
What? I've only just noticed this. Look, put your leg out again.
Yeah. Oh,
he's got, for someone, French stick legs.
Oh. So yeah.
Look at these old.
For someone so apparently gym heavy, your legs are like little thin breadsticks.
Don't you dare.
It's look at them.
Don't you dare.
You could snap them.
Look at them. Ow.
You could snap them.
It's because he doesn't do leg day. That's
you forget leg day, don't you?
So I used to do leg day. This is God's honest truth. Because I got my little hernia, belly button hernia. Yeah. I don't do like deadlifts anymore because I'm afraid that my hernia will just fall out.
You are so
old. And then
old.
My ass will just fall out of my belly button.
You are so old.
I don't think that's a medical thing.
I don't think that would happen, though.
So I've been doing a lot of chest and arms recently.
Yeah.
But
I can tell.
These old pins.
Those breadsticks, yeah.
They're not...
No, they're
huge. They're French sticks.
They're huge. Look at the muscle definition on that. Ah, the pain. But anyway, I've worked back to the pain.
You've got old man legs there. Look at that little bit there.
What? You say I've got a varicose vein?
It's like you've got a knee on a knee.
Well, no, I got
a knee on a knee.
Look, why does your knee go down to here?
I've got saggy knees. Oh, you should see my balls.
Slightly off topic.
Look, your knee has gone down to here.
No.
What's going on here?
What are you on about?
He's got saggy knees. Look, why is your knee down?
It's muscle. Look, I got muscly.
Your knee is
kneecaps.
Down by your shin.
Anyway, I ran down Mount Snowdon because I'm a very powerful stallion.
Because you're silly.
Yeah, because I'm a little bit silly. And the second day I was all right. Third day, a little bit of pain. And today I've woken up and I'm just in a really bad way.
Poor overall condition.
For those who don't know, Alex, and I think you might have been able to guess this, is the most competitive man in the world. And if you challenge him to something, even if he thinks it's a stupid idea and wants to back out of it, he can't.
No. This was my idea, to be fair. And I did suggest it to your brother, expecting him to say, no, that's a silly idea. But he didn't. So I was like, fine, we're doing this.
And both of them then, for some reason, decided to run down Mount Snowdon.
Yeah.
Because both of them didn't want to do it.
No, I did want to do it.
But Tom wanted to. Tom has a thing where he likes to prove a point.
Okay.
And he will not.
Tom is your brother.
Yeah, Tom is my brother. Yeah. And he will not back down from something, even if he also thinks it's stupid.
Yeah.
Because he likes to make people prove a point to themselves.
Yeah.
So he was there thinking, well, no, Alex has said it, and I'm not going to let him back down from it just to prove how stupid his point was. But then he also has to go through with it.
Mm.
Yeah, and I stand by it. It was fantastic. I can say I've run down Snowdon, and it took me an hour.
So, when we looked, the average pace to get down Snowdon, if you're doing a gentle walk, it's 2.5 hours. A walk is 2 hours. And if you're doing like an actual brisk pace, it's 1.5 hours. Mm. And that's like brisk walking the whole way down. You did it in...
Well, I got to the hotel in 1 hour, 12 minutes.
So
I got to the bottom in 1 hour.
Yeah. Fair play.
Isn't it?
Fair play.
Yeah, but I'm in trouble now.
Your bunions are flared up.
I am in trouble. My shins have started hurting and my feet are now hurting as well.
You are so old.
I think I'm going to need to go to A&E after this. We'll just drink through it.
Tom also cannot go up and down stairs and also has massive blisters on his...
You said he was all right. Did you lie to me?
I may have lied.
Really? Thank God.
And also has massive blisters on his feet.
I have no blisters.
Okay.
But yeah, there were many moments where I thought, right, I'm in trouble here. We're going to fall over.
You got a clip of them running alongside the train and it just looks like one of them is about to drop any moment.
It does.
You should have watched us the entire time. It's literally like that the entire time. Yeah. But it was good fun. It was good fun. I took your brother off piece and he wasn't particularly happy for a little time.
No. Again,
and apparently walked past some danger signs. Do not walk here. But I didn't see those.
No.
But yeah. We'll do it again.
Okay.
Meanwhile, me and Rory had a lovely train ride down.
We did?
Yeah.
Very nice.
It's very boring.
It was quite nice, actually.
Very boring.
Good views. Yeah. Had a little nap.
Okay.
It's good.
Anyway, that's me done. Yeah, I need like a deep tissue massage or something. Actually, no, don't touch me. No one touch me. It's in pain. Anyway, let's move on to Find of the Week.
It's time for Find of the Week.
Where you, the audience, give us a budget and a category and we will come armed with our car of choice and argue about whose is best. Last week, Nicola asked us to find a tow car for no more than £8,000. And as a reminder, I chose the fantastic 320D X-Drive Touring. Rory, you opted for the F11 530D. Why have you got a smile on your face, Touring? And Mike Fenney, who joined us last week, went rogue with a Touareg V10 diesel, which only morons buy.
I may have advised him.
Did you?
I gave him some advice.
Right, that was terrible advice.
It was good advice.
I think Mike has sussed how to win this and is just to go for something quite outrageous and then people seem to vote for it.
Yeah. But we're going to move on anyway.
Who won?
Well, it doesn't matter who won. It matters about the percentages of the person who lost.
Okay.
But it's not a percentages game. It's like an advice game. So,
yeah, okay.
We should probably...
So what were the percentages, Alex?
Well, it was like... So, all right. So 53% went for the Touareg.
Nice. Yes. That's a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what?
Only 41% went for the 530D, which leaves 47% for the 320D.
No. How much?
What?
How much went for the 320D?
It's about 6%.
Six? 6%.
I feel like people are doing this just to piss me off, man.
Oh, that is quite funny, isn't
that
it?
That is 6%. Funny.
6%.
53% went for the Tuareg. They just want to watch Nicola fail.
No.
Yes.
They're good vehicles.
But for someone who's just wants a daily and then driving around and they do a bit of towing on a caravan, realistically.
You want the Tuareg. You want so much power, the body will come off the chassis.
None of that matters, however.
Okay.
Because Nicola actually commented on the video.
Okay.
Did you see it?
No, I did not. Right. No.
Nicola has said, Nicola from Find of the Week here, thank you so much for helping with our dilemma. Going to start looking for a 5 Series north of the border. The panoramic roof stole it. However, the Tuareg was an extremely close second.
Oh.
Sorry, Alex. Well, I'm sorry for you, Nicola. You've made a terrible choice. Actually, no, the F11 is fantastic.
I think all three of us can say that the F11 is a fantastic.
They're great cars. Yeah, very boring. Great cars.
Yeah, but that's what she wants. Mm. Anyway, this week, Jan has challenged us to find a fast two-door coupe, and he writes, hey guys, greetings from East Frisia. I currently... Do you know where that is?
I was just about to say, where is that?
Wales.
Wales.
Is it like near... Is that Eastern Europe?
No.
York.
It's not in the UK. I'll give you a clue. East Frisia!
Sweden. Germany.
Germany. Well done. Yeah, northwest Germany. So Jan writes, I currently own a Volvo S60 T6 with the Heyco Sportive package, and I'm thinking about selling it after the next MOT. The reason being that I'm worried about something going wrong with it and then having to file for bankruptcy to cover the repair costs. I'd like something with similar performance, more than 300 horsepower, sub 6 second 0-60, and bonus points if it is a Manuel and a two-door coupe. I have a budget of 15,000 big ones. Thanks and kind regards, JM. Taylor, what do you have for us?
Wait, we all JM. Know.
Yeah, Jan.
JM on cars.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it could be, yeah. But no, it's just the letters J and M.
Okay.
Juma. Taylor.
We all know, here we go. Realistically, here we go. That there is only one option here.
If you've... let's have a little guess. Is it a BMW E46 M3?
It is. A... BMW 46. We all know it's a carbon black E46 M3 manual with a sunroof, black leather.
Yeah.
It's only got two previous keepers.
Okay.
It's very, very nice condition. 2005. It's got Harman Kardon, electric folding mirrors, electric sunroof.
Yeah.
All original, no modifications, not had any paintwork. It's got Leckie folded mirrors. It's got all service history with invoices, blah, blah, blah. This car has always been local to Reading and Farnham, which is good because that means it hasn't been up north or by the sea.
Yeah.
He's got a list of all the services and it's just had an inspection too, and spark plugs and front pads and discs. And it is,
yes,
for the small fee of 13 grand. 13 so you got a bit grand. of pennies left over.
Bill wiggle room,
And I think these are a great investment because they're not realistically going to go down in value unless you don't look after it. I think they're fabulous to drive. Yep. They are genuinely, you two may disagree with this, I actually think one of the best looking cars ever made. Hmm. I genuinely do. I think as a... One of them.
So
they're just... The proportions.
Think how many cars have been made.
Loads.
So you're saying, would you say this is like the top 10 best cars ever made looking?
Yeah, I actually do.
How many miles has this one got, by the way?
This one's got, it's a little bit, it's done 140k.
Oh, that's leggy, that. 140. That's dangerous.
It's not too bad because it's been really well looked
after. That'll want the glow plugs doing soon.
Yeah, the glow plugs have been done.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, it's
have the
really
rod
bearings
been done?
I'll be honest, I can't bother to read all of it. Probably.
Okay.
But yeah, really nice car, that.
That looks like a lovely car. Yeah.
And it's got the correct diamond cut wheels.
You know what it is, though? It's a bit bland.
It is a bit boring.
Oh,
yeah.
Rory, behave.
It is a bit bland.
You know an E46 M3 is not bland.
Come on, then. What you got? Come on, Sunshine. Here he comes. What's he got?
So yeah. I was actually surprised at how cheap these have become.
Is it British?
Yes.
Well, there's a surprise, isn't there, Rory?
It's not what you're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I have gone for a Lotus Elise.
Oh,
I didn't think you could get these for 15 grand. So this is a Lotus Elise. It's in black. It comes with a 1.8 Toyota engine, isn't it?
No, first gen was K-Series Rover engine.
K-Series Rover, okay. But still...
Which is brilliant.
Have you read the description? I'm reading here, head gasket blown.
No, it says actually rebuilt over the last 4 years.
Yeah, I was just checking to see if you've actually read the description,
no.
Rory.
No.
Well done.
No.
There's a lot of description there. That is good.
There is. Though, I'm not going to be reading all of this. I've owned this car for the best part of 7 years. Over that time, I've gone through most of the car and either refurbished or mm-hmm. replaced all the parts. Anything that could have been sandblasted and powder coated has been. So you know this guy spent a lot of money on this car.
Unless it's the oil filter and all that.
It comes with 12 months MOT. It has a Lotus. It's been, all the work has been done by a Lotus specialist. Oh. It's never let him down. And he's, look, this just, I could go on and on. This list.
Are these reliable cars, Taylor?
Not really. It's got a Rover K series.
Oh, really? Yeah.
The rest of it's all right, apart from the chassis. They go rusty.
It just needs an engine conversion then, doesn't it?
But then you can then just put the Toyota from the more modern one in.
Can you? Is that easy to
just
do?
Just strap it in.
Or you
strap
can do what most people do, which is put a K20 in it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
I've actually driven one of those years ago. It's terrifying.
Wow. Okay.
Really good car. But question, Rory.
Yeah.
Two-door coupe?
It's a two-door.
Coupe?
It's a two-door.
300 horsepower?
He did ask for 300 horsepower.
Look, the main thing
does that do 0-60 in under 6 seconds or thereabouts? Have you checked this?
Of course it does.
Have you?
Of course.
You've done your research here.
5.8.
Okay. I was just asking. Yeah, you don't need to be so smug.
5.8.
Yeah, okay.
Look, I'm just saying that is a lot of car for the money, isn't it?
No, that's like, not a lot of car.
And what year is that?
That is a 2000.
Okay.
Oh, it's quite old.
It's nearly as old as me, isn't it?
But it is. This is like, you turn up an E46 M3, everyone's like, yeah, cool.
No, everyone,
you turn up in a Lotus Elise, everyone's like, that's pretty sick.
Yeah. No, you turn up in an E46 M3 and people go, oh, that is nice. I really do like those. You turn up in the Lotus and people go, brave.
Yeah, fair play. That brave. Must be painful. Yeah. Mm. How much was that again? Sorry.
£15,000.
And it's not got carpet.
That doesn't leave him much budget for the K20 swap though, does it? Or a head gasket fix.
Yeah, but look, he's literally had it rebuilt not too long ago.
Oh, okay. Mm.
It's, I'm telling you, that is the car that you'd want to get.
Question. Okay.
Interesting.
You had an E46 M3 sat in front of you and a Lotus Elise.
As your next car.
You've got your own money. What one are you buying?
And I mean this, I swear on my life, I'll be picking that Lotus Elise.
Can I throw one more into the mix?
Go on then.
Your car, a bit stripped out, right? Bit of a track car.
Yeah.
Right? Uncomfortable for long journeys. Your car, very predictable. My car is the thinking man's choice. It is, of course, the Porsche Cayman 3.4 S.
Hmm.
Yeah?
I do quite like those.
Exactly. So we've got 171 miles an hour, 5.4 seconds to 60. This one here has got 79,000 miles on the clock. And it is up for sale for £12,995. Look at that. Blue in colour.
The wheels look like tea coasters.
Doesn't matter.
Small wheels.
Doesn't matter. Okay, fine. We can change the wheels. We've got budget for that. Interior looks lovely. Look at the lovely pictures as well. We've got red calipers. Beautiful interior. Manual gearbox. And you know that these cars drive absolutely
IMS bearing.
It's been done.
Do you know what?
Has it actually?
Full service history. Let me go through it. 12 months MOT. One owner from brand new.
Fair play.
Brand new clutch.
Okay, yep.
Registration included. Cobalt blue metallic 18-inch alloy wheels. All four matching Bridgestone tyres. Red Porsche branded brake calipers. Bike xenon. Headlamps, fog lights, parking sensors. Raising spoiler. Need I go on? This is the fastest car. It is the quickest car. And it's probably the car that when you go to to the club, people are going to be most interested to get
Would you say, I wouldn't say it's the, it what this term of quickest.
Quickest is how quickly it accelerates.
Okay.
What was yours, sorry?
Mine's a Lotus at 5.8.
Yours is
5.4, but...
5.4?
But I think we can both agree mine would be quicker around a track.
Oh.
Depends what track. Curbra, yes. Silverstone, absolutely not.
I must say, I do like a Cayman.
Yep.
They're good cars, they are quite expensive to maintain. There's no denying that. They suffer with ball score, IMS bearings.
Yep.
And
should we go through all the problems that E46 has suffered
with? Yeah, they are problematic.
Exactly, yeah.
I don't think it's as cool as the E46.
Okay, that's fine.
They're not as cool.
He wasn't asking for a cool car. He was asking for a sensible car. Good car.
And as much as you say about the Rover engine, blah, 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 the parts are still quite cheap for that.
They're all right.
And you got me. I would say out of the three of them, unbelievably, I think the Lotus is actually the cheapest one to maintain out of them. Because a lot of the parts were just used from other cars.
It's not about maintenance costs. It's not about cool factor. It's about what you guys think at home. We have got three very different cars. We've got a Lotus, we've got a Porsche, and we've got a BMW. So you guys let us know in the poll, link below. And this week, please, just make the sensible choice, okay?
And just buy the BMW.
No, don't do that.
You can't go wrong with an E46. You know you can't go wrong with an E46 M3. They're good
cars. Well, I do, because I'm going through it at the moment. And anyway, to Jan as well, why don't you jump in the comments as well and let us know what you think, and then we can discuss it next week. Anyway, I wanted to move on now to a thank you message from Matt Smart. He has written, "Hi Alex, Rory, Taylor, and the whole Auto Alex crew. Just finished watching the podcast with Mike, another great podcast as always. I'm sure you get loads of emails from many of your fan base, but I truly wanted to say thank you. My 2025 started very, very shit. My brother Dan got taken to hospital on January the 6th and was diagnosed with pancreatitis, which developed into chronic pancreatitis, sepsis, multiple organ failure, and sadly, he died on January the 31st. He was a huge car guy. We both were. In losing my brother, I felt broken and lost. We did car stuff as a team. We've had a Clio 172 on throttle bodies and cams. We built a Hyundai Coupe 2.7 and supercharged it. Our Dan was a wizard when it came to cars. We all used to say to him, everyone needs a Dan in their toolbox. And boy, was that true. Me and my good friend Scott were building his project car at the time, which was a Renault 5 GT Turbo. We fitted a Volvo 480 turbo engine into it, and Dan painted that in the barn. So when you got your Volvo 480, it really hit a nerve with me. Since losing my brother, I've struggled mentally. I lost my passion for cars and I didn't care about them anymore. I felt I couldn't because he wasn't there to enjoy them with. But I can truly and honestly say that your videos and podcasts have honestly helped me through what has been a very, very tough time. So I wanted to say thank you very much. You guys make so many people happy and support them without even knowing it. I wanted to come to Shedfest, but sadly I can't as I have my son that weekend and would struggle to make it with him. But I do hope to see you guys at some point, as I'd very much like to shake your hand. Anyway, I'll stop talking shit and leave you be. Again, thank you." And then he's written, "I've attached a few cars we built over the years for your eyeballs." And if I open up these pictures, wow. Have a look at these.
Oh my God.
Phase one Clio. Throttle bodies, that looks the bollocks. Hyundai coupe with scissor doors.
That is
and
cool.
A supercharger. That is a Seat Ibiza. And then here are all the lads with their amazing cars. There's a Renault 5, there's a Clio, and a Clio.
God, they proper.
And that is a Valva,
cars.
Isn't it? A Clio Valva.
Yeah, that is a Valva. Yeah.
So thank you very much, Matt, for writing in. And we're glad that, you know, watching us and listening to podcasts has helped you regain your passion. And for anyone else as well who's going through a shit time, we're here for you. And we hope that you can come and join us at Shedfest. And if not, shake our hand at the next car meet that we do. But yeah, it's always really humbling to hear these kind of stories, isn't it? So to Matt and all of your friends, sorry for your loss. It was obviously quite recent. And hope to see you soon. Anyway, let us move on to car news, Rory.
Oh, car news.
Good news or bad news?
I've got two bits of news this week.
Okay, here we go.
So I've got, I would say this is a good news.
Okay.
So we've got the DVSA, which is our driver vehicle standards agency. Yeah. So they're the ones who we do all of our driving tests with. Mm-hmm. They are making a change to how we do our tests.
Is it drink driving? Is it five and drive now?
No.
Oh, shit.
No, is it, I don't think that's been the case since a long time.
What is it? The speed limit is now 100 in 20 zones.
No. So this is actually the driving test.
Oh, the driving test. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, do you have to do reverse J-turns to show how good you are?
Yes, that is it. Handbrake, how did you know?
And burnouts.
Handbrake turns, yeah.
Did you see my burnout at Adam Seafest?
I did. Yeah, I think a lot of people did.
Would I pass my driving test with that?
God, no. No. But what they're going to do, they are looking at removing the emergency stop part of the test.
I don't really see why.
Isn't that quite important?
They are saying it's because cars have ABS functions and blah, 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 and all that stuff. It's not that actually important. The whole point of it when it was brought in was when cars didn't have ABS.
Yeah.
And it was all about learning to brake as hard as you could without locking up basically.
Oh, okay.
So that was the whole point, that the emergency stop was in there in the first place.
So the point isn't that a lot of modern cars have automatic braking and that they're relying on auto braking.
No, no.
Hopefully not.
No, it's not that. It's just they're saying it's quite easy to just hit the brake pedal now.
Yeah.
But the thing that they want to focus on more is high speed driving.
Oh.
Because I don't know if you know this, but like our driving test, you don't have to go on the motorway as part of the driving test, which seems a bit mental since that is a big predominant of our road network. And also country road driving as well.
That's clever. They're very good. Yeah,
so they want to actually focus a bit more on what drivers in the actual real world do. Because it seems mental that you can go around your driving test, which I did because I was in central Birmingham. I don't think I ever got above 30 miles an hour.
Well, that's because you had no wheels on your car.
I did the same as well. I didn't go really above. I think maybe I did 40 on a little section of dual carriageway.
I learned to drive in Devon. I did my test there.
Well, yeah, but that back when you did your test, it was like, you know.
Well, they're awesome cars.
Yeah, it was an awesome car. Yeah.
And then did you pass first time?
I did pass first time.
Did you? Any minors?
Yeah, one or two.
How many did you get?
What's the maximum you're allowed?
I think it's 12 or something, or 11.
I was up there.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, really? I think I went round a bend thinking it was one way and it wasn't one way. I still passed.
Really?
Yeah.
You went the wrong way up a one-way street.
No, I didn't go the wrong way, but instead of being on the left...
You've got to remember, this was the 60s. So yeah, like, that's true. It was a lot more.
Yeah, we were all completely stoned as well.
Yeah, nice.
Listening to Gary Glitter.
I passed first time with two minors.
Did you?
One was for going too fast out of a junction.
Yeah.
Which I was doing the speed limit. He just minded me because I didn't slow down.
Right, yeah.
And the other one was going too fast over a roundabout. Again. Oh, okay.
You literally went over a roundabout.
I was doing the speed limit. Yeah. I just didn't slow down. There was nothing there. So
this driving test, the new driving testing.
Yeah.
Does that mean that new drivers are going to learn to undertake safely on the M40? Because we have to do that every day.
Oh, all the time. Yeah. And you learn how many times to flash the person in front and how close to get to. I think the legal requirement is 0.9 meters, I believe.
0.9 meters. Okay. I don't
think that's the case. I think it is just. But to be fair, this has been an absolute craziness that we, you know, as I said, you can pass your test without going 30 miles an hour and then you're sent straight onto the motorway.
I remember the first time I ever went on a motorway.
Yeah,
I shat myself.
Same here. Yeah.
It was horrendous.
Did they have motorways in your days?
They were being built.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so they were like gravel.
Yeah.
I remember the first time, like one of my first time, I passed my driving test. The next day, I took five of my mates down to Bristol.
Oh, God.
I mean, the next day.
Sorry, what car were you in?
Four of my mates.
Right, officer.
And me.
Four, apparently.
I remember I came to the first time, I'd never come across it before, was a double right-hand turn.
Oh.
So, you know, when you've got like two lanes that both go right.
Oh, yeah.
And I was in the far right lane because I was just like, oh, yeah, but that's the lane that goes right. And then just basically completely cut off the van that was on my left that was also turning
Nothing's changed, has it, Rory? No. You and your Range Rover, you command the road.
But it definitely is a good thing that they're doing this.
Oh,
I think motorway driving should be added as part of the driving test.
Yeah. I agree. I think the motorway discipline in this country is shit.
It's terrible.
Yeah, no one knows what to do.
Yeah. Like when you go in over to Europe, everyone is, and I mean, even not just Germany. Germany is outstanding with their there must be some sort of driving test element that includes motorway driving in Germany because everyone knows what to do over there.
Yeah, that's true. So,
yeah.
But the rest of Europe, a lot of people still do move over when they need to move over. It's only the UK that you come here and everyone's just like, no, this is my day.
And America. Exactly. Yeah. America's the same.
America is a bit of a given, isn't it?
An unusual, so unlike here, it's illegal to undertake. In America, it's not illegal to undertake.
I think in certain counties,
is it?
Oh,
I don't know. Yeah. But I know that you can in a lot of places just weave in and out of traffic, obviously safely, but that's not illegal to do. Mm. So America's just weird.
Yeah,
I just find people in this country on the motorways are also so aggressive. Mm. Like a lot of the time, you'll get people hogging the middle lanes and then you'll be, you know, going in the outside lane. And obviously you're overtaking someone to the left. You can't move over to the left because they're hogging it. Mm-hmm. And then you just get people barreling up behind you and flashing your... The thing that annoys me the most is tailgating. Mm. That really rattles.
Because you had that yesterday, didn't you? What was it? Nissan Qashqai.
And do you remember? It was doing it for ages.
It was, yeah.
And I was in the outside lane doing the speed limit. There was people to the left.
Yep.
And every time, you know, I'd go past a couple of people. Every time, if there's the smallest gap, we'd try and nip to undertake, but couldn't because there was people there.
You know what was weird? Because then, I was actually like a 6 or 7 cars behind these guys at this time because I'd ended up having to catch up with them. And then this cash guy had pulled over and then you guys were going over and then he didn't actually get past you, did he?
No.
And then he pulled back over to the middle lane. So all of the tailgating was absolutely pointless.
Yeah, it was odd.
Then he sat in there. And anyway, guess what happened?
What?
I then went past him. Next thing you know, I've got a cash guy right up my arse. And I'm like, what is going
Maybe
on?
Maybe he's trying to save fuel by slipstreaming.
I don't know. Mm. It was very weird.
It's really weird. But the tailgating is my most annoying thing.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the time as well, especially on the M25, people will just like randomly slam on. And like if there's congestion or whatever, it will just randomly brake really hard. And it's quite scary.
Yeah.
And if there's someone tailgating you, they're done. Unless they're really concentrating, they are crashing into the back of you.
Do you know what annoys me the most about that as well? A lot of the people that do it the most are the people in massive high-top vans that are fully loaded.
The vans,
and you know there is no way
they just
want to
bully their way through, don't they?
You got to remember as well, like I do a good section of my journey is on an A road where the commercial speed limit is 60.
And then I was going to say, the speed limit's different.
Sometimes I'm getting a commercial van coming up, and I mean it's one of these Luton vans.
Yeah.
And they're coming past me at like 90 miles an hour. And I'm like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
That is equivalent of, because obviously their speed limit's 10 miles an hour, that's equivalent of me going past them at 100 miles an hour.
Yeah,
because you won't do that.
But I'm just like, why are you going that quick in a vehicle that is not made? You know, speed, it can be done safely. Obviously, you know, we know it in Germany. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if you've got a proper solid BMW, Audi or something like that, they are built to do that and they're built to brake better and whatever. A Luton van fully loaded is not going to be braking at the same pace as a thingy.
Like, well, that's why they're restricted to 60 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Like commercial vehicles in this country can only do 60, even if you're in a transit van.
Unless they're on the motorway, then they can still do 70.
Mm.
And that's actually what happened to Chris. He got done, didn't he?
Yeah.
Because he was doing 70 in Vanny D. He didn't know about the 60.
Yeah, yeah.
And he got done. Mm. I don't know if he got points or just a speed. No, he got speed awareness.
Yeah.
Also, random memory that I had from this morning, because we're talking about driving our cars yesterday. When I was coming into the unit this morning, I was just driving over Hayesway. Car pulls up to me next to me. It was like a MG ZS, you know, one of those electric things.
Yeah.
Winds his window down. He's like, all right, man, I used to have one of those back in the day. I was like, oh, yeah. He's like, yeah, 480 turbo. Mine was great. That was a great car, that was. And I was like, what are the chances? But yeah, it was just like your
Fair
impression.
Play,
yeah, it's really cool.
All right, I think you know, you know, one of them back in the day. There you good go. Motor,
that. Yeah, that was not that. Yeah, good motor, not that. Yeah.
It's funny, actually. I nipped to my body shop this morning to drop off a couple of bits.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy came out of there and he was like, oh mate, I ain't seen one of these in a movie, man. Is that a Tomcat? I went, yeah.
Did you put on the voice as well?
Yeah. I was like, yeah, it's good, isn't it? He went, is that Polynesian? Oh mate, that's a proper motor, that.
Did you then say which panel?
Yeah, all of them.
Yeah.
But just different shades. Right,
yeah, except for that bit of trim that you painted.
Yeah, that's
just
Polynesian blue. The rest of it is Polynesian turquoise.
Okay.
But yeah, quickly touching on the motorway thing. Yeah. Do you know what my favourite car for driving on the motorway and commuting is?
If you're going to say your Touareg, aren't we?
It's my Touareg.
Oh, for crying.
Do you know why?
Because it's good for
the acceleration of that car on the motorway is biblical.
Really?
It has 1,000 Newton meters of torque. And when you accelerate, all it does
is drop
one gear and you are gone. As soon as it hits boost at any speed, that car accelerates the same at every speed.
So for contrast, obviously I had Vinny, you know, my turbo Volvo 480 on the dyno. Yeah. That produces a whopping 280 Newton meters.
Yes.
And yours is 1,000. It is also 1,000 times heavier, but almost like 3.5 times more torque, which is very impressive.
It's not as heavy as you'd think. It's not heavier than Rory's Range Rover. It's obviously quite a heavy car.
Yeah.
But yeah, 1,000 Newton meters of torque.
That's a big number.
And what that means, it's not like fast off, it is quite fast off the line, but it's not about that.
Yeah.
It's the acceleration it has at every speed.
Yeah, in-gear acceleration. Yeah,
you could accelerate at high speed and it will accelerate the same as if you were doing like 30.
That's amazing.
It is insane. And it's so joyous on the motorway.
Good. MPG are you getting out of that?
If I drive it carefully, carefully-ish, I get about 30, 32.
Okay, that's actually
which isn't bad. if I drive it the way I have been driving it normally, about 22.
22?
In a diesel, yeah.
Right, okay, that is impressive.
It's quite not a lot.
Right, Rory, next piece of news?
So the next piece of news is also good news.
Good news! Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you know how everyone loved the old style Yugo?
Yeah, oh, the Yugo, yeah.
The Yugo, I go, we go.
Yeah, mm-hmm. There is a new Yugo coming out.
Oh.
By a new car brand, I think it's called Yugo Automobile.
Oh. Where are they from? Is that like...
Serbia was the original. Oh, okay. It was Yugoslavia, which is where the name came
from. If you tell me this new one is Chinese and plastic and electric,
I believe they're using a Serbian designer and everything like that, and they're bringing it out.
Yeah.
And
has it got like a 1.5 litre petrol turbo?
Have a look at it.
That
looks like the Hyundai, is it the Ioniq 5 or something?
Do you know what I didn't realise about those? How large they are.
They are massive, yeah. They're big car. Big car, yeah. So what are the specs of this Yugo?
So there's not been much release yet. They've only just showed it off at the big show that was on recently?
Some sort of motor show.
The Munich one. Munich, right? Okay, yeah. So they're showing that off and they're just showing off more of the design of it. Mm. There is no technical details revealed really at the moment.
Please don't tell me it's electric.
It will be electric.
Does it look electric? Can you see an exhaust pipe?
So,
go on.
Unlike others, Yugo Automobile has also said electrified versions are possible, although no technical details. So they're basically saying, here we go.
Oh.
The Yugo will come with
an
internal combustion engine with a choice of manual and automatic transmission.
Really? That is nice.
So this is the first of these.
Fair play, Yugo. Well done.
We've had a lot like the Renault 5 and all this stuff, but they've all been electric. This is the first one where it's like one of these old cars and they've made it look like an old car.
I love that. That's cool.
But it's going to have an internal combustion engine.
That is very good news.
Can we see if we can get one of those when it comes out? I'd like to drive
If anyone knows anyone who works there, we would like one of them.
Yeah. Indeed, yeah. We'll even drive out to drive it.
Do you know what I have noticed about a lot of these new cars like this and the Renault 5?
Yeah.
Is a lot of them are electric. Mm. Have you noticed they're stealing the designs from older cars to try and make them cool?
Yeah, that's the whole point. They want to make them look iconic.
What is that saying about older cars?
That they're better looking, everyone
knows
that.
They're cool, yeah.
Yeah, they're not fridges.
Mm.
God, there's so many ugly new cars.
Oh,
so many ugly new cars.
The worst one, what was that? There's two. And when I see them, I want to be sick. I wish my car had curtains so I could draw the curtains, The Aura Funky Cat.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it's despicable.
Yeah.
And there's an MG that has a funny front on it and it looks vile. Yeah. I will use the word vile because I feel so strongly about it. And when I see one coming up behind me in the mirror, I just want to be sick.
Mm. Do you know, I have to make an admission. I drove past a BYD, I don't know what it was called.
Flying Fish.
Elephantitis or Bottom Feeder or something. And I looked at it and I was like, that's quite a good looking car.
Mm.
It was an SUV and the front of it looks more Tesla than Tesla. It's a better looking version of a Tesla.
Really?
And I was like, that looks sleek and nice and classy. And then I swore and then I just drove off and just left them in a whole diesel smoke cloud. Because I was like, I feel so conflicted here. Good looking car. Would I drive one? Absolutely not.
There's one that I quite like and it's...
If you say Jaku, I'm going to punch you.
No, it's not Jaku. Jaku's in... I like the Hyundai Santa Fe. You know the big, large one?
Yeah. Oh, they are massive.
Yeah, it looks like something out of a video game.
Yeah.
Or like Minecraft or something. Yeah. They're so square and they've got those funky rear lights. I actually quite like those.
It looks like something out of like an old GTA game, doesn't it?
It does. It's Saints Row.
Yeah.
Do you remember Saints Row? It looks like something out of Saints Row. It's a cool car. I like the Santa Fe.
I don't know what Saint Row is.
It was like a rip-off of GTA.
Oh, okay. I know that. Yeah, I know that one. Anyway, let's move on now to Keep or Quit. And Chris Daniel has written in and said, hi, Alex, Rory and Taylor. I have a 1991 300ZX twin turbo auto. We saw one of those, didn't we?
We did, yeah.
Yeah, in a barn.
Yeah.
Owen and Georgina's.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool. Not as cool as the Sinclair C5, though.
The Sinclair C5 is cool, but I like a 300ZX. They're very cool cars.
Anyway, he said, I've had it 18 months and have been working on rebuilding the engine slowly and want to convert it to a manual. The bodywork is in pretty good condition and it has no rust, but I'm starting to fall out of love for rebuilding the engine. It's a right-hand drive Japanese import, and I live in BC in Canada, so it won't be used at all in winter. Should I continue knowing that I'll love it once it's finished, or sell it and buy one that doesn't need an engine rebuild? Love watching the podcast. Keep up the great work. Thanks, Chris. Rory, what do you think? Did you listen to any of those words?
No.
Did you? Okay. What were you thinking about? What were you thinking about?
I don't know.
He was thinking about pasties again.
Was he?
I was thinking, I was quite hungry actually.
Oh, really? Yeah. We've just had lunch, man.
I know, but it wasn't enough.
Okay. Taylor, what do you think? Did you listen?
Yeah, I did listen. Yeah. I think straight away, without hesitation, keep and stick with it.
Yeah.
It's really easy to lose motivation when you're rebuilding a car, especially if it gets to a phase where you haven't worked on it for a little bit. But you push it, if you need to push yourself to finish it.
How do you do that? How do you get in that mindset?
Don't ask him. He always quits on cars that he hasn't finished.
But he can give advice.
Yeah. I have done from experience, given up. And I do regret it sometimes not finishing them.
Have you given up on your BMW E46 V8?
No, I will. I'm demotivated with it, but I will restart that and get it done.
But how do you get into that mindset of, I'm going to crack on with this?
I need to just make time and just, you know, take the cover off it, get it in and just start working on it. The minute you start working on it, you'll make progress. The progress then becomes satisfying and motivates you to continue with it.
Is there like any music that you put on, or do you put like your favorite food and drink out and you're like, right, I'm going to just lock myself in.
Put some tunes on and just start working on it. Yeah. And the more you get done on it, the more satisfying it will be until it gets to the end when it will be really satisfying.
Yeah.
And you just got to learn not to give up. The thing is, if he were to sell that, he wouldn't get a lot for it is.
Yep.
And then he'd spend money buying another one. And that other one, you could drive it, you know, up the road or do a couple hundred miles. It could blow up again.
Do you know what I always do?
You pay a man.
No, I do pay a man. but no, because I've got a little storage area around the back. And then if the car's around the back, I sort of like just put off the stuff.
Yeah.
But then I purposely, like if I want to get something sorted, like on my 330i, I'll bring it around to the front and I'll block in one of my cars with it. Mm. And then I'm just like, going, I need to get that moved. So maybe the point is, you know, put it in your mind or put it in your line's eye every single day.
Yeah.
Or do something where if it's in a garage, pull it out and just go, oh God, I need to do something about that.
I'm the same. I'm very much out of sight, out of mind. If I can't see it, I forget about it.
Yeah.
So if I, you know, get the car out and give it a little clean or whatever and go, oh, I do like this. I want to crack on with it now. Yeah. It really motivates me to finish it.
Yeah. I would also think, try and think of the things that excite you, like good music, good food, good beers and stuff. I'm not saying do this pissed, but like just have a little kind of hidey hole of like your safe place and then just slowly, meticulously do it. If you can do it and if you can rebuild it, you've got the skills and the tools, then just try and keep motivated because the satisfaction you will get at the end of this will far outweigh selling it for not a lot and then buying something that might blow up. So keep at it. This is your motivation. Rory Taylor and I are telling you, Chris Daniel, to crack on with that car. We want to see progress updates. I want to see emails at
podcast@autoalexcars.com.
And if you don't, we will come to BC. Where's BC? Where is that?
I thought you said it's Canada, wasn't it?
Yeah, but what's BC mean?
Before Christ.
Okay. We're going to look up before Christ in Canada. We're going to come there and Taylor's going to finish it off.
Am I?
I don't know. Actually, no, that is motivation. Get it done, Chris. Get it done.
And or we just sell see it, Chris.
Don't sell it.
Don't be a Rory. Do not be a Rory.
Sometimes you just got to admit defeat.
Shut up, Rory.
You know, enough is enough.
Sometimes, Rory, just got to look at it for face value.
And for what it is.
And then sell it.
No selling. Chris Daniel, please keep up with it.
You might
We want updates.
It.
We want updates, okay? Right, we've been talking for over an hour, well over an hour now.
Yeah.
Any more to report? Any more to say?
No. Except for have a good holiday.
Oh, thanks.
There's one thing that I would like to mention before we go. The highways or whoever controls it, please turn off the 50 mile an hour speed limit near my house.
Oh, right.
Because they removed the roadworks over a month ago now.
Yep.
And it says speed limit in place due to system test. Turn it off. I want it off.
Oh, Rory, are you right?
I've had an email about this.
Go on.
It's so funny that you said.
Please, you're winding me up now.
No, actually, reduce it to 40.
No, just turn it. There's no test. Just turn it off.
They could be doing it for air quality.
No. Rumour has it, from my insider that is at the highway.
You have a man? What's his name?
That system test is not actually a system test. And it is actually the fact that a lot of the stuff is broken. So they've had to lower down the motorway speed limit of 50 because at the moment, a lot of their cameras and visibility and the automatic vehicle tracking have broken. So much so that they've had to lower down the motorway speed limit while they got it all fixed.
So people don't crash as much.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Wow, that's really annoying.
Gotta love a smart motorway, haven't you?
Yeah. Also, we were on the M40 yesterday.
Yeah.
Do you remember they closed one of the lanes for about, 100, 150 metres?
Yeah, yeah.
They closed it with cones. And cars just drove past and the speed limit didn't change and we all got past and no one crashed, no one died.
No, and then
had that
then
been
they
the M25 or the M4, or the M4, that would have been close to like 5 miles.
5 miles and then probably taken 9 months.
It would have been terrible.
And then,
whereas
they just did their little bit of work.
Yeah, just cones. Traffic cones are good.
Put a massive lorry with one of those big bump stops behind it, which...
A cushion.
Yeah, with the big cushion. And it's just like, we'll just get it done.
Yeah, just do that. Just do that. Just smart work.
I swear. The day the M40 gets any sort of smart motorway gantry,
we're moving.
I'm leaving.
We're moving to Germany.
Yeah.
We're moving. So we're going to get a house by the Nürburgring.
Yeah.
Question, just quickly.
Yeah.
If a lot of their stuff is broken,
yes,
because it says system test, does that mean I can speed?
Can we ask your man?
No,
do the cameras actually work?
Do you know what? That's probably the first thing they'll fix, isn't it? Really,
is the cameras.
They won't care about the actual safety bit. They'll be like, how do we get those phones out there?
If I could just. So the annoying thing about it is because they removed the cones and this system testing has been in place ever since, people still think it's average. So they drive through in the outside in the middle lane constantly at 50.
But that's because that's the speed limit.
Because you know when
because that's the speed limit.
In between you sort of nip and tuck.
I don't know what you're on about.
Could you not like stop to zero and then go to 100?
You could on an average, yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
But you got to make sure you don't stop after the speed camera and because it's between each set of speed cameras.
Should we do that and
it's
show
not for
them?
The whole thing.
There's a video in that. Just F the government.
Do not take our legal advice. This is a disclaimer. Alex and Taylor do not have any knowledge of any such things. And please ignore all advice please given.
Motorways are rubbish.
They are
smart motorways.
Smart motorways are shit. And with that, we're going to call it there. Thank you very much for listening to the Auto Alex podcast. This has been episode 10. We will see you and hear you and listen to you with your eyeballs and your ear holes.
Oh, wait.
No,
wait,
shit.
Wait.
No, we won't.
I probably should just bring it in.
I was on a rush there. Yeah. Rory has left.
While you're all waiting,
Rory's picking up a chalkboard.
I would just like to one thing.
Corkboard.
That I haven't said on the podcast for a while.
You're welcome. Did you want to say thank you?
Egg.
Okay, fantastic. Wow, we've got a cork board. Explain what you see, Taylor.
So this is a cork board.
Oh no, you weren't involved in this. This is why this is such an enjoyable episode.
Brilliant, thank
you. So this was the Bruges trip that I did with Jack and Chris. It was me on the Honda Monkey and it was Jack and Chris taking public transport and we had the Polaroids, didn't we? And we now have a massive cork board with all of the Polaroid pictures on there. At the top, it says Bruges, May 2025, Team Alex on the left, Team Jack on the right, and a nice picture of an aeroplane above with I need to wee-wee, because if you remember, he nearly got arrested for... I don't know what happened there. It was crazy. But all the pictures are there, and we've got a nice little message.
This is really cool.
This is cool, and we have a lot of space for more races. So at the end of this month... we're doing a race to Ireland, aren't we? We are going to Sean's Bar, which is apparently, according to Wikipedia, the oldest pub in... in Ireland. The oldest pub in Ireland. So, we're trying to figure out the public transport versus car race. I need to think of a car. It's got to be interesting. It can't just be a boring car.
No.
So I'm going to do it something a bit spicy. And then the guys are going to do public transport, which will include an aeroplane. I'll be on a ferry. Because there's no trains.
It's quite a long ferry as well, isn't it?
It is quite a long ferry. Yeah.
All right.
No, please.
No. All right. Well, that's the Auto Alex podcast. Don't forget to like, comment and subscribe.
I forget to say that. Yeah. Could you like and subscribe? Could you subscribe? That'd be cool. That helps.
And do, for everyone listening, with your eye holes and
ear
holes,
do it to the best of your ability.
What? Listen to the best of your ability. Whatever you do, do it to the best of your ability.
Yeah.
Just be good people, everyone. All right.
All right.
And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.